As always, it is my pleasure that you join me for today's podcast of Second Chance Coaching. My name is Dr. Richard Lewis. If you'd be so kind as to leave me a rating and your feedback, I would very much appreciate it, and it will help others like you to optimally discover this podcast wherever you listen to this and your other favorite podcast. As you know, at Second Chance Coaching, we focus on seeing everyday life through the eyes of the returning citizen and highlighting the resiliency of the human spirit. I would love to work with you one-on-one, whether you're a returning citizen or coaching client seeking your second chance, or you're a representative of a business, college, or university seeking to integrate and support returning citizens in your respective organizational and learning environments. Please feel free to contact me via email at richard@secondchancecoaching.com or via Instagram at @drrichardlewis. Welcome again to another edition of Second Chance Coaching. As always, it is my pleasure to join you on another week of your reentry journey from whichever corner of the world you're listening from. We always remain humbled and excited that you've decided to spend part of your week with us. Today is our season finale, which will have us concluding 5 seasons, 99 episodes. Today is our 99th episode of Second Chance Coaching. I want to take the time to thank all of you for a successful 5th season. As a matter of fact, when it comes to season episodes, with this being our 25th episode for our 5th season, it makes our 5th season with the most episodes produced in one season. You know, there are so many second chance topics, second chance stories, second chance advocates, and just all of you, the people in which I've had the honor and privilege of meeting with, talking to, and solving problems together, continues to make me a better second chance coach, better consultant, better professor, better dad, better brother, better uncle, better grandfather, better cousin, and just a better person overall. For that, for all of you who have participated and spoken into this and been a part of this journey, I thank you so much with all my heart. But before we get to our topic of this week, I wanted to make sure that I invite all of you, whether in person or via Zoom, to come and join us at Second Chance Coaching, either through an interview or telling us your story. You know, we're looking right now. I'm going to start recording our 6th season right away. And I'm sure there are multiple people in our worldwide audience that are waiting to be inspired, motivated, and supported through your story, through what you have to share with us, through your testimony. So please feel free to reach out to me at richard@secondchancecoaching.com. So second is spelled S-E-C-O-N-D, not... We're not doing the 2 and the ND. So richard@secondchancecoaching.com. And together, let's ignite the fires of inspiration, motivation, and determination. You know, at the time that this episode drops on Wednesday morning, April 10th, at the time that this dropping, I'll actually be on a plane to New York City, traveling to attend my high school reunion. I went to St. John's Preparatory High School in Astoria, Queens, and this reunion will make 35 years since I graduated from high school. And if you're doing the math, it would be 1989 as my high school graduation year. I do not think my high school experience was any different from any of you. You know, we walked through our high school years looking to belong, fighting insecurities, and just placing importance on so many things that when we look back upon it, yeah, really just weren't that important. Or in some cases, I don't even remember some of those things that were so important from that time period. I'm sure there were plenty of good and bad to go around in my high school years, but the more I'm removed from my high school years, I tend to remember only the good times. You know, it's easy to only remember the good times, especially when I went to high school long before the age of social media. You know, there was no constant documentation of your past high school life, whether it was good or bad. So I guess it's good. It's okay to just remember the good times since there's not that constant documentation. This will be my 4th high school reunion that I'm attending. So I also attended my 30-year high school reunion, my 25-year high school reunion, and my 20-year high school reunion. I didn't attend my 10-year high school reunion, as it was held in a very unusual time in my life, or a very critical time in my life. My 10-year high school reunion was actually held less than a month after I was indicted. So a lot of us, you know, so certainly that wasn't going to be a time I was going to go. But a lot of us, you know, when we attend high school reunions, usually by this time we don't attend anymore, but we usually attend our 10-year reunion, and that's usually marked to particularly show how, you know, we want to come back and show how well we've advanced in our lives, or how well we think we've advanced in our lives. Now, for my 10-year reunion, I know there wasn't going to be where I was in my life. I was in transition. I was not working. I'd just been indicted. There was not much I could say. I imagine that high school reunion would have went something like this. Hey, Richard, what's new? And I would have said, oh, nothing. I got indicted last month. And then I'd get the, oh, yeah, I think I saw something about that on TV last month. Man, best of luck with that. You know, see you later. And then they kind of exit stage left. Now, do I think the exchange would be so surface and so cold like that? No, but I was certainly not ready to have that conversation about the uncertainty of my immediate future at the time. And on top of that, and on top of that fact, in my mind, my life was in shambles. So I certainly wasn't going to go and say, oh, hey, everybody, how you doing? My name is Richard, and it's been 10 years since I've seen you, and my life is in shambles. But when I went to my first high school reunion, you know, the 20-year reunion, I was certainly very nervous, but a little more comfortable, certainly more comfortable in my skin. But that nervousness is really based on fear of being accepted, fighting my insecurities, and would I be welcomed by my high school classmates? Now, think about that. 20 years past my high school reunion, those feelings were not much different than actually being in high school. When I arrived, it was one of the most fulfilling nights that I had. It was so good to see everyone. All the nervousness just went away right away, and it was like we had picked up in 1989 all over again. And when I went to my 25-year and 30-year high school reunions, there was just no nervousness, just excitement to see everybody, like the feeling I have now to see the folks that I went to high school with. I'm just excited to see them. This is going to be, for me, a reunion weekend of sorts, as on Friday, I'll also be reuniting with many brothers and sisters from the Black student organizations at St. John's University, many of us that had gone to school in the 90s. And many of them, a majority of them I've not seen since I've been in college. These brothers and sisters are just wonderful people, but I know that in my time, a lot of them, when we went to college together, I didn't invest the time in hanging out and building relationships with them as a whole, as I did with many people that I was a part of the college radio station with. And I invested a lot of time in the college radio station, as I was very interested in radio. And plus, you know, at that time, the radio station wasn't as diverse as it is now at St. John's. And I wanted to make sure that there were many diverse voices that were present at the radio station. And those diverse voices had to start with me. And I knew there might be some folks who from the Black student organizations who might have thought I was not being as supportive as I should have been. Or maybe I wasn't as supportive as I could have been, but I was always supportive of them when we were in college. I wanted to make sure that the events were promoted on the radio. You know, the things that I know that I could do as being part of the station. But I know at the station, I wanted to make sure that my voice was heard and diverse voices were heard, and that had to start with me. So much so that I was able to become the first African-American general manager of WSJU Radio at St. John's University. So I'm still very proud of that accomplishment. And when I come on Friday night to that place where we're going to be reuniting with everyone from college, I'm not sure if some of those folks are still going to have some of those voices or animus towards me for maybe I didn't support them enough at the time when we was in college, or in their minds, I didn't do it as much. But at the end of the day, I still think it's going to be positive, that it'll be a great reunion, because even in the years of social media, that we've always been supportive of each other and continue to stay in contact. So it's been really good. So I think that reunion plus my high school reunion is going to be pretty good reunions, pretty great reunions, you know, as far as the time worth going home to New York City this weekend. But I know a lot of you face anxiety about reunions with people that you might have went to school with, or maybe went to work with, or had some sort of experience with. And of course, I did research some steps online that does help you get through the process, get through the process of having the anxiety of going through reunions. And number one, these steps are as follows. And number one, the hardest decision to make about a reunion is the obvious one. That's to just go to the reunion. It takes courage and commitment, and that's the hardest step. Two, there's definitely people that you've kept in touch with over the years, more so than others, and solicit support and backup from trusted former classmates that will help you through that process. Number three, take your normal and expected entrenched fears with you. Take them with you. You know, face them, and you will notice that once you get there, they'll kind of just melt away. Number four, let the anticipatory anxiety be there. Like I said, let it be there. The anxiety, the fears, they'll just be there. Like I said, seeing the first warm face and great hug will really make it disappear. Number five, the advantage of being in the age of social media. We're in social media and we can connect with old classmates. And sometimes having that connection with people, even though not in person over social media, can take the edge off the anxiety when you see them, because it won't be like you haven't had no contact with them at all. Number six, have a formulated overture of dialogue to speak to everyone about what they've been up to as a way to consistently break the ice. You know, have the standard questions. How's your family? How's work? What have you been up to? Where are you living? You know, those kind of, you know, standard questions that just kind of get the conversation going. Number seven, be inquisitive and curious about what the others have been up to. Rather than focus on yourself, ask a lot of questions of them. Number eight, be open and give everyone the opportunity to show that they've grown up and matured since graduation. They may not be the same person that they've always been. There are people that I have run into from high school that we are really cool now, that we weren't so cool in high school. But then there were people that I was cool with in high school, and then they've posted their political beliefs on social media, and we're not as cool now, even though I think that stuff you can get past. Number nine, and speaking of that, be open to forgive those who may have hurt or snubbed you. At the end of the day, you know, it takes less time to forgive than more time to hold grudges. Number 10, express your gratitude to longtime friends and reestablish new connections with other longtime and old-time friends. That's helped me a lot. Certainly, reestablishing connections with old friends from high school. You know, when mom died, those connections meant so much. You know, they did more than words could say. And just the everyday dynamic of them being a part of your life. There's a lot of people that I went to high school with that we have continued to remain friends and in regular contact with since the last reunion. So the reunion now is just an extension of us continuing to keep in touch with each other. Number 11, have expressions of sympathy and empathy to those who may have lost loved ones along the way. I think I've told you in previous podcasts, the last reunion I went to was right after mom had passed away. As a matter of fact, this coming Sunday, April 14th, will mark 5 years that mom has been gone. So certainly before I leave New York, I will definitely go and say my respects and lay some flowers down for mom and continue to express how much I miss her and love her. But when people have those expressions of sympathy and empathy, you know, that really uplifts folks. You know, there are definitely people in my high school that if they come to the reunion, I will express that to them. They have lost folks since our last reunion, the same way they express that love and sympathy and empathy to me. And then number 12, the last thing, walk away from the reunion with a sense of gratitude and accomplishment for yourself. I'm very proud of the school that I went to, very proud of the relationships I've built, and very proud of how that foundation has helped me become who I am today. And how I'm able to show up, and how I'm able to be my most authentic and true self. So certainly I'm always grateful for that, and definitely feel a sense of accomplishment, as you will too when you go to your reunions. But overall, even with the nervousness I've had in the past, or even some of the little nervous I might have right now, the stress involved with the reunion could come and go very quickly. as the happiness and euphoria being reunited with longtime friends gives a lot of great energy, love, and light. You know, when thinking about these reunions, I also think of the reunions that involve returning citizens, as those reunions will mark a significant beginning to one's reentry journey. I'm sure I'm not alone in this feeling. From the time I was remanded, I thought about the importance of being reunited with my loved ones. Even though I was relatively gone for a short time, whether you're away for years, months, or days, I certainly believe that the longer one is away, the human mind adapts more to being away, because as a survivalist, it's a survival mechanism as far as dealing with the anxiety and trauma of being away or being forcibly away from your loved ones. And then, as with each every day that passes by, you get more used to not being at home, even though the heart still longs for being home and longs for being reunited with your loved ones. When I was away, I thought extensively about missing my mother, my sister, my niece, friends, family, loved ones, and especially at the top of that list was Julian and Anandi. And I thought about every day what the reunion would be like with all of them, what I would say, what I would do different, how we'd build the relationship better, how would we take advantage of the time, knowing that time is the most precious thing, especially when you're away and you're not doing anything with your time. You really realize what time means. I did not think about, getting nervous about a reunion after I was incarcerated until I had my last correctional institution visit with my mother and my uncle who came to see me, and my uncle at the time, who was my godfather. My uncle, he was certainly the man. I loved him, still love him to this very day, and miss him very much. But he was the man, and a very strong man. And I've told this story before in the podcast that when we concluded our visit, he didn't show much emotion during the visit, but when he hugged me tight to say goodbye, he hugged me so tight he didn't want to let me go. He had that affection for me, not only as his nephew, but as his godson, and as the son of the brother that he was closest to, my dad. And he hugged me so tight that I just felt all of that emotion through his hug, through that hug. That it touched my heart so much. I mean, it really touched me so much that it became very tough for me to see him this way, because I know that's really wasn't his way. And in that interaction, it made me nervous about reuniting with him again or having him come up again, especially because the level of emotion in play was already high, being somewhere that I didn't want to be, and the high levels of emotions on my end alone was like, oh no, I definitely cannot handle this. Especially when he told my mother, like, oh yeah, anytime you come back, I want to come back. Thank goodness I got work release. I didn't have to come back. But at that point, that's when the time happened when I started becoming nervous about how would I deal with being reunited with people I had not seen. Especially when unconsciously my mind, just turned, not forgot about my loved ones, but just basically turned off my mind about going home as a way to survive where I was. I also indicated in previous podcasts that when I came home, like I said, when I did come home, there was just a lot of emotion and a lot of getting used to now a new life of freedom. And I know a lot of my fellow returning citizens have these same issues about being happy with coming home. But there are stresses that come with reunions. And when I looked at the research about stress coping strategies regarding reunions, I found that returning citizens and returning military soldiers experience the same type of thing and readjustments or similar issues when being reunited with the loved ones that they have. I was thinking about, like we talked about last week, the men I saw at Everglades Correctional Facility. There was so much energy, so much excitement that they were thinking about going home. But then there were a few that thought about, while I'm excited about going home, there's a level of fear, a level of anticipation, anxiety as to what's going to happen when you come home, what is waiting for them. And in researching these coping strategies that, like I said, was very similar, almost exactly alike between people who are coming home from incarceration and people coming home from the military. These are some of the coping strategies as far as reunion coping strategies that I found in my research. And there was about only five of them. Number one, Expect to have a few doubts and worries and anxiety about what life will be like. Expect to have that. It's okay to have that because you've been gone and they know that you've been gone and they've been kind of experiencing life without you as you've been experiencing life without them. Number two, forget your fantasies. You know, it's nice to sit there and think about what the fantasy of a reunion would be like, but balance that out with the reality of what that reunion would be like. You know, if somebody, as much as you love somebody, or whether it be family, friends, whatever, if they got on your nerves before, they're still that same person. You're still that same person. So while there's happiness, don't let that happiness turn into a fantasy as far as being reunited. Number three, and this is the biggest and one of the most important things. Don't expect things to be exactly the way they were before you left. Life didn't stop for you as you went away. Life didn't stop for them either. So the thing is, things won't be the same as they were before you left. Through the process, accept your feelings, lean into your feelings, and share your feelings, and hopefully they'll share their feelings with you as well. And last thing is, always try to see things from the other person's point of view. They're definitely trying to figure out and understand how you're trying to come home, how you're trying to adjust to being home, and see from their point of view what it's like now that you're home. That is different. It's a different dynamic. It's different movement. While everyone's happy, there's still an adjustment period. You know, it'll take a few months for that normalcy to set in. I remember, you know, when I came home, my cousin was there. One of my cousins was there with my mom, hugged them tight, was so happy. And then, you know, when he came home, I could see that even though my mom was a little worried, she just sat next to me, wouldn't leave my side for that initial 1 or 2 hours when I came home, was holding my hand. At first, I was like, oh, okay. You know, I know I needed a little space, but I know my mom needed to be around me, to touch me, to hold me, to just be there, to know that I was safe, to reassure that for herself. So it wasn't normal for her for me to be home. So I needed it. She needed that to come down from that shock. And that was okay. But in those few months when you're waiting for the normalcy to set in, don't be afraid to say that seeking therapy is important. That's the one regret I had when I came home, that I didn't seek therapy. I didn't think I needed to. Because the action in getting therapy, working through therapy, not only by yourself, but with your loved ones, could really make that transition home a whole lot better and make that reunion more, you know, more joyous. You know, you're able to figure out the rough spots and continue to optimize the good spots. But not only, but the reunion is not only going to be celebratory, but it'll be sustainable through, you know, in that initial part and throughout your reentry journey. So therapy, I can't emphasize it enough that that's important. But, you know, at the end of the day, reunions are full of joy, whether it's school reunions or group reunions or reunions of which are made after separation from incarceration, especially when you see that tied yellow ribbon around the old tree. It means something. It means something to come home. It means something to be reunited with the ones you love and the ones that you care about. Once again, I want to thank all of you for sharing your time with me. Thank you for continuing to spread Second Chance Coaching to your friends, family, and loved ones. As I indicated earlier today is our season finale, and we'll be back in that first week after Labor Day, which will be our 100th episode. So when Labor Day passes, that first Monday in September, in that first week, we will premiere again. We haven't determined which date we'll sit there and start dropping episodes again, but our next episode, our season 6 premiere, will be our 100th episode. So we're looking forward to an exciting season 6 of Second Chance Coaching. So if you have that Second Chance Coaching story, you have that inspiration, motivation, tips, book reviews, whatever the case may be, jump on board and join us. We would love to listen to them, listen to you, share your journey with you. So remember, feel free to contact me at richard@secondchancecoaching.com. Have a wonderful, healthy, safe and productive summer, and we look forward to seeing you at our season 6 premiere of Second Chance Coaching in the fall. God bless. Thank you again for joining us here at Second Chance Coaching. In addition to coaching services for individuals and businesses, I'm also available for speaking engagements and workshops on criminal justice reentry, human resources, as well as organizational culture and leadership. Feel free to email me at richard@secondchancecoaching.com, as well as connect with me on Instagram at @drrichardlewis. Remember, every day you are given this opportunity for your second chance, and I know you'll make the best of it. I love you all, and I look forward to connecting with you next time here at Second Chance Coaching.